Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening, or good morning, if you're listening to this show after the game has already been played. This is Sports Betting Tips with Chris Sheridan, episode number 36. And tonight, we have a great game taking place in San Antonio. This is Kawhi Leonard's alumni game. And an alumni game in the NBA is when you go back and face your former team. And I'm really pleased to have a guest on the show who's just been killing it in terms of what goes on with Kawhi Leonard and what's been going on with Kawhi Leonard over the past couple of years in San Antonio, and then even this season since he moved to Toronto. And that guest is Jabari Young from the Athletic. First of all, Jabari, welcome to the show. Second of all, congratulations on getting the gig with the Athletic. They're doing a lot of nice things out there in the industry. And third, I want you to take it from there. What are we going to see tonight from Kawhi, number one, and also from the fans in San Antonio who are as rabid and as loyal to their team as any fans in the entire NBA?
Well, first of all, Chris, I got to say thanks for having me, man. You know, as a young guy coming up trying to just get into business and studying at first, you know, I always listen to you, and I've always saw you on TV back when you were ESPN and read your work, man. You were one of my favorite writers, so this right here is a privilege to be able to be talking to you on this podcast. And secondly, I appreciate the thank you for joining Athletic, great company. Just very glad to be there. And third, you know, you asked about the reaction and about Kawhi. I mean, listen, the fans are going to boo him. You know, the fans are going to get on him. They're going to boo him. You know, the same way that people in Portland booed LaMarcus Aldridge when he came back. I mean, that's just what fans can do. They paid their ticket. They earned the right to do that. And, you know, they're going to get on him because I don't think everybody understands with everything that went on behind the scenes last summer. And I just don't think that they have grasped the fact that everybody's not going to be the big three. Everybody's not going to be Tim or Tony or Manu, and they're not going to just sit back and take the way that the Spurs like to do business. Kawhi has his own set of things. His family has their own set of values and the way they want to see things go down. And in talking to somebody from his camp less than 24 hours ago, at the end of the day, Chris, it was just one of those things where they didn't see eye to eye on a number of issues, not just the injury, but a number of issues, and they felt it was time to part ways. So with that said, you know, when you have people in San Antonio who are not accustomed to this type of, you know, hey, you know what, I'm going to go do my own thing attitude, you know, they're going to get on. And like I said, they've earned that right. But I fully expect, you know, Kawhi to perform well. And I think it's going to be a big game. You know, and I hope it comes down to a last possession to bar the rules, ball in his hands, first down one or tie game, and Kawhi defending. And that would just be storybook. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's one of the games that TNT, you know, probably grabbed. It was probably the first game they grabbed when they made their schedule for the games coming up this season. And, you know, Kawhi, though, and Kawhi's future is still the subject of quite a bit of speculation. Is he going to stay in Toronto long term, or is he going to kind of force the Raptors' hand and make them move him prior to the February 7th NBA trade deadline? I asked Kawhi about it myself when he was in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago, and he didn't really give much of an answer. And I've talked to a bunch of Toronto writers. We've had Toronto writers on this show. Nobody's got a really sharp reading on it. But Jabari, you're the go-to guy for Kawhi Leonard coverage. What's your reading on Kawhi and his intentions for leading up to February 7th and then beyond February 7th when the trade deadline passes?
Well, you know, something that's interesting, man, I talked to him, you know, a little bit after he got through his media scrum, just kind of, you know, rapping a little bit and can't share too much of the details. But one thing I can say is that, you know, he likes Toronto. He likes that city. You know, I mean, that's a very diverse city. It's a very good city to be in. Chris, you've been there a number of times. It's a uniqueness about it. And I feel like him and his reps are going to give the Raptors every last opportunity to you know, to sign, you know, to re-sign him. And I feel like he's going to give them that that chance. You know, listen, they're winning. Ain't no way in the world Masai Ujiri's trading with Kawhi Leonard by the deadline. That ain't happening, okay? If he's going to walk, he's going to walk. But right now, Toronto, you know, one of the best record in the NBA, he's not getting traded unless something epic happens and they just have an epic collapse. So, you know, and right now, I've told people the further that the Raptors go with Kawhi Leonard, the better the chance they'll be able to sign him. They go to the NBA Finals, and then I can't see Kawhi Leonard walking away from that, because ultimately he's always made it known that he wants to win. He wants to be great, and he wants to win championships before his time in the NBA comes to an end, like everybody else's time. So if that's true, you don't leave a championship team that you just got to the NBA Finals with and sign with the Clippers, who are still, you know, unknown, or sign with the Lakers, where you have to deal with the LeBron James hoopla that surrounds him. Great player, but, you know, you got to know what you got to deal with when you're going through that. I don't think Kawhi wants any part of that. And also, you know, again, the Clippers thing, great story, but I just don't know if they, you know, if he feels they have enough. When you're Toronto, look at the number one team in the East, number one team in the NBA, your path to the NBA Finals is much better. It's easier to get there from the East than it is the West if you come back to the West. So, you know, I think they're going to give the Raptors, again, every opportunity. I feel like they like this situation, and it's not just going to be a quick, okay, thank you, Toronto, we're going to go outside with L.A. I don't think that that's part of their mindset. And people forget, listen, and I don't want to be taken out of context, but listen, who's to say that the Spurs don't try to come back after Kawhi again after this season? Who's to say that, listen, he's a free agent at this point. Who's to say, hey, listen, man, we messed up. We know we want to do things differently, but how about we give this thing another go? We got DeMar in the fold. We got LaMarcus in the fold. How about you come back? You know, for everybody that says, oh, that's a long shot, I don't hear nobody denying it, okay? Ain't nobody denying it. So, you know, let's say that the Spurs might want to come back and go grab their services. So, but I just don't think it's going to be as easy as them just giving up on Toronto. I think they're going to give them every shot that they can to make sure that he can stick around long term. So right now, if you ask me, I feel like Toronto's the number one team in the running, and what they do with that is going to be up to them.
It's a very strong statement, and Toronto is dealing with some injury issues. Kyle Lowry's been out for a while, and they're doing a two-headed monster at center with Serge Ibaka. He's started 26 games. Jonas Valanciunas, who's injured right now, another big injury. He's only started 10. The guy who's really been the glue guy on that team is Pascal Siakam. Danny Green's making a comeback game tonight. And Danny Green, as you've seen for years and years, man, he runs hot and cold like a leaky faucet. But what's your prediction for tonight's game in terms of points scored by Kawhi Leonard? Right now he's averaging 27.3.
You know, I think this is going to be one of those games. I remember watching LaMarcus when he first got back to Portland, and it wasn't necessarily, he struggled a little bit. You know, the emotion part of it is going to take its thing. You know, you can't just expect basketball players to lose the fact that they're human beings, right? So, you know, he's going to hear the boos. I'm sure some of it's going to hurt. I'm sure some of it's going to, you know, and then also you got to worry about that other element of it, okay, going out and doing too much too fast, you know, trying to, you know, get himself established to get him his team in order. So I don't think he's going off of 44 points, but I could look at it and maybe about 25 points tonight, maybe 25 and 10 rebounds or something like that. But I feel like to start, he may struggle a little bit, you know, and I just feel like that'll be the human element side. You know, that'll be the side. And I think DeMar DeRozan experienced that when he gets back to Toronto next month. You know, people seem to forget that they are human beings. So, you know, there's not a lot of players that come out and have to go through this type of atmosphere, and they come out and they're dominant. Maybe LeBron James did it once or twice when his early days when he left Cleveland to go to Miami. But, you know, you can just sense that it might be a little bit of struggle right ahead. And then you've also got to figure that Greg Popovich is going to have something for him. You know, he's not going to just let Kawhi Leonard come out and do what he does in the offensive end, right? They're going to try to get the ball out of his hands. You know, they're going to try to make him work for everything that he gets. So, you know, like I said, I don't think it's going to be a massive game. I think it'll be a nice game for him. And at the end of it, I really think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. You know, whoever makes the better plays in the fourth quarter gets the most stops, I think, wins the game. I hope it's not a blowout. I hope it keeps us on the edge of our seats, because as a journalist, as a fan of sports, these are the type of games that you really live for to watch. So, again, I'm hoping it gets close. I'm hoping that it comes down to the end. And, you know, at the end of the day, I hope both DeMar and Kawhi play well in the end, and the better team wins the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like we said off the air, one of these nights the Atlanta Hawks are going to come into your arena, and it's just going to not quite have a big buzz. So, but tonight the over-under on Kawhi Leonard's points is 27.5, and the over-under on DeMar DeRozan's points is 24.5, which is right about in line with their averages. But let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs, who are right now tied for seventh place in the Western Conference at 21-17. They lost Deontay Murray going into the season, and it was supposed to be a lost season, but somehow it isn't. They beat the Boston Celtics the other night. They beat the Clippers by 11. They played a back-to-back with the Nuggets. They beat them by 8, and then they went on the road and they lost by 3. But they've won 3 of their last 4, and you take it out over a longer stretch, and they've won 6 out of their last 8. What on earth is Pop doing to make this team stay in playoff contention? They don't even have a center. I mean, other than Jakob Poeltl, who's a natural center, they're playing LaMarcus Aldridge at center.
You know, what Greg Popovich is doing is he's being Greg Popovich. He's being a damn good coach that he is, that he's been known to be, a Hall of Famer in waiting, you know, a guy who's won 5 championships. He's coaching. He's finally understood what his roster can and can't do, and he's altered his coaching and game plan and defensive and offensive schemes based off of the talent that he has. Only the good coaches know how to do that. There are some coaches who can only coach talent, and that's the easy part, but coach those guys who maybe not beat, who are not as talented, and get them to play as talent. When you are able to get what you're getting out of guys like Bryn Forbes and Derek White and Davis Bertans, that's a damn good head coach. He puts them in positions to succeed, and that's what you see from the Spurs. You know, when early on when they were going through those losses, I was in Minnesota where they got their behind kicked and give it back to him and says, okay, now get the hell out of Minnesota, go back to San Antonio and cry about it. And then Houston came in and said, you know what, we got something for y'all too. And they kicked him in their mouth. And Greg Popovich was the guy on the bench talking to DeMar DeRozan, and he looked like a sad cat. He was just talking to them. But that is coaching. That is what he did. He's understood what his roster, what this roster can do, changed up the defensive schemes, changed up the way that they play, changed up the offensive spacing now so that way it's harder for teams to double LaMarcus Aldridge and get him frustrated and out of the game, which they've been doing earlier in the season. And that's what he's done. I mean, he's able to alter his coaching. I mean, before he came in here and they felt like they were going to play the same style of defense that they did last year. Well, guess what? You don't have the same personnel. You don't have Danny Green. You don't have Kyle Anderson. DeJounte Murray's hurt. And, oh, by the way, you lost probably the best two-way player in the game in Kawhi Leonard. So maybe you got to change some things up. He stuck with it, realized what they can and can't do, went back to another defensive scheme, that what they call ice, Chris, and that means that they're trying to keep everything on the sidelines, okay? They're trying to avoid and prevent guards and guys and ball handlers from using the screens. And it's just play. It's been phenomenal for them. And so, you know, he's just coached, and that's what he's done. I guarantee you, if the Spurs were able to finish in the top 5, okay, top 4, top 5, I really feel like Greg Popovich should be top 2 and coach of the year candidates, because nobody's giving the Spurs a shot. Everybody you look at before this season entered, they felt like the Spurs were going to be the outside team looking in. They didn't think the spacing can work with DeMar and Kawhi. DeMar DeRozan's on pace of having his best all-around season, career highs in rebounds, career highs in assists, okay? It's just been phenomenal, the job that he's been able to do, and it's paid off for the Spurs now. And the scary part is, they still feel like they have much more to improve on. So imagine if they were to add to that and they got better. You're talking about a team right now that's very hot, that they're confident. They believe that they can hang in with anybody. They can believe that they can beat anybody. And because they have the coach that's able to beat and out-coach anybody, and Greg Popovich.
That's all valid points. And you look at the guys who are contributing, there's only 4 players averaging double figures for the Spurs. Bellinelli's at 9.9, so they almost have 5. But Bryn Forbes is at 12.2. Rudy Gay is at 13.7. Yeah. LaMarcus is a shade under 20, and DeMar is a shade under 23. And so when you talk about, and we're talking about this off the air, when you talk about what might be missing, there's a guy on the New York Knicks named Enes Kanter who is going to be traded. Not might be traded. He's going to be traded. And I wrote a column last night about some possible trade destinations for Enes Kanter, where it might make sense. And one of the teams I listed was the San Antonio Spurs, because they are right, playing LaMarcus Aldridge out of position there. And Enes Kanter, as bad as he is defensively in guarding the pick and roll, and he's not very good at guarding the pick and roll, he's a beast on the boards, whether it's on the defensive boards or the offensive boards. And if you do go into a playoff series against a guy like Steven Adams, who's just a beast on Oklahoma City, or a guy like Jokic, you know, Jokic is he's a freak. Nobody can guard that guy except for maybe Anthony Davis. But someone's got to bang, and someone's got to grab offensive rebounds. What about a deal that would send Enes Kanter from the Knicks to the Spurs And then you got to make the money match. And so the guy who would have to go back is Pau Gasol. And Pau Gasol has another year left on his deal, but it's only a partial guarantee for next year for about $6.5 million. You like that trade for both teams?
I would say from a viewpoint of talent, of course, you're getting back a guy who is an Enes Kanter, who offensively at this point of his career, his age, his body is better than a Pau Gasol. But what you're losing is that you're losing somebody in the Spurs on Pau Gasol, who was very good with that second unit before he got injured. You know, he was very, very good. And also you're taking on a contract next year that you can't get out of. And Enes Kanter was making about $18 million next year.
He's free.
Unrestricted free agent. So, you know, you're offensively, you're getting back a better player. Defensively, I think they both have their deficiencies. But, you know, listen, if you can get a guy that talented, I think the Spurs would definitely explore. They usually don't like to, Chris, you know, and you know, they usually don't like to add anybody that they feel can disrupt what they've already started chemistry-wise, and that's why they're not so fast to put Pau Gasol back in the lineup in a rotation, because they like what they're getting from Jakob Poeltl. But I don't necessarily think that and I think he finally embraced playing a center spot. Even if they did get Kanter, I think he would be more of that second unit type of guy. I don't know if they would just start him, because if you start him, then that means you might have to take Rudy Gay out of the lineup. And, you know, Rudy, DeMar, and LaMarcus, they kind of got something going in that you know, chemistry area. So, you know, if he came, I don't know if he'll be necessarily a starter. And so do you want to be paying somebody $18 million coming off the bench? You know what I mean? They already paid Powell $16 million, but do you want to be paying him $18 million coming off the bench? And obviously we know he has his, you know, his defensive deficiency. I'm not sure. Talent-wise and looking at, you know, Enes Kanter from an offensive point of view, absolutely. But the Spurs right now have no problems on the offensive end. They know they can score the basketball. They've always had their problems on the defensive end. I think they think twice about making a trade just because they say, okay, Enes Kanter is a better rebounder. He's a better scorer. He's better in the pick and roll. I think they would kind of think twice, say, okay, how is this guy going to come in? How is he going to affect? And can he be coached by Greg Popovich? If he's not happy now in New York because he's not starting and not playing as much. So if Greg Popovich decides to not put him in a game one day, is he going to have to go through that same issue down in San Antonio? You know, so it's one of those things that they're going to do their due diligence, do their research to see if he's a good fit. And then also, you got to also look at Pau Gasol. I feel like, you know, he's given them every opportunity. He's given them discounts and didn't go anywhere when he had that, you know, opportunity to when he opted out of his deal the year before last. So, you know, I think they want to do right by him as well. So I don't think it's going to be something that they're just going to up and do. If it makes sense and it's going to help them in the standings, I think the Spurs will always explore it. But this one, you're going to have to sit back and do a lot of homework on before you make that type of move.
Yeah, I was out at the game in Brooklyn last night. The Pelicans were in, and Anthony Davis had a career high in rebounds without even trying. He had 28. you could see, he wasn't into the game. And I think he's ready. I think he's ready to say something. He didn't want to say anything last night. His next game is in Cleveland tomorrow night, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if something comes out somewhere where Anthony Davis is going to push the envelope a little bit on getting moved. Pelicans are 14th in the West, and it's a 15-team conference, and they just don't have the depth they need to compete. But getting back to Enes Kanter, one of the things I heard talking to a bunch of people I know at the game last night is people are afraid of him because he's a talker. He's not a guy who keeps his mouth shut in the locker room. He'll go out and he's very active on social media. He's, because of the problems with the Turkish government, he's not allowed to go back to Turkey. If he goes back to Turkey, he's going to get arrested. He's going to get a bullet in the back of his head. His father's been arrested. He's applying for U.S. citizenship on a political asylum thing. And a lot of teams, they don't want a talker on their team. They want guys who keep their mouths shut. But with Greg Popovich and as worldly of a guy as he is and as infatuated as he is with international politics, you think that would be a problem for him, or you think he would actually embrace a guy like Enes Kanter, who could help educate people about what's going on outside the borders of the United States?
Well, last year, if you would have asked me that question, I would have said, listen, man, you know, Greg Popovich, they would welcome him with open arms from that point of view. This year, the Spurs have kind of toned down a little bit. And I don't know if it's the simple fact, you know, Greg Popovich hasn't been as outspoken, especially when it comes to the president of the United States in this country. And so, you know, it's one of those situations where I think they're walking a fine line because you also
he probably got
where you're at. Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. But I don't think Greg Popovich has ever had a problem with a player who has, you know, such strong political views. I think he loved those type guys, and he always had, you know, converses with those type guys, you know, outside of basketball when they do those team dinners like they did in L.A., you know, go to an Italian restaurant. He enjoys talking about things other than basketball, and so I think he would enjoy Enes Kanter's from that perspective. You know, but they don't just get guys because they're talkers in the locker room. We also got to be able to play the game as well, and we know Enes Kanter can play. But like I said, it's just one of those situations where they have to do their due diligence and be very, very careful because obviously the Spurs are a worldwide entity. They're probably the most popular team around the world when it comes to the NBA because they've had so many impact players from other countries like Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. So, you know, it would be a very interesting situation. I would love covering him. I'm sure it would never be a dull moment when it comes to Enes Kanter. But with these Spurs, I think they'd walk a fine line in making sure that the player that they're getting doesn't go too far out of line and have to put them in a position to have to answer questions that they don't want to have to answer, especially all the first year away from the Kawhi Leonard thing, which really, really threw them back because they have never been in a situation like that. So they'll probably be very, very careful before they go out and get some a guy who's as talkative as Enes Kanter. But at the same time, if they did get him, I don't think that they would tell him that to shut up and shut his mouth. I think they would allow him to be himself, allow him to be outspoken as long as he produces on the basketball court.
Yes, Greg Popovich does believe in freedom of speech. And it's interesting that you say he's not commenting a lot on politics. A lot of guys aren't commenting a lot on politics because our country's become so polarized. But,
yeah.
You know, be that as it may, we do have freedom of speech in this country and people are allowed to talk. And somebody's going to come up with a moderate party. I think it's going to be Mark Cuban. And then we're going to have a three-person election, and maybe it'll be Donald Trump and Pocahontas and Mark Cuban, and I'll put my money on Cuban in that race. Hey, man. One thing you learn in life.
Cuban certainly has the money, right? Cuban certainly has the money to do it.
Anything can happen on any given day. So, but let's turn to back to the board and look at this game and some of the other games that are on the board, and it gives you an opportunity to plug our sponsor. This show lives on GetMoreSports.com, but the guys paying the bills are one of the top offshores in the world, and there's a couple of them that are sponsoring this show. Right now we're being sponsored by MyBookie.com, and if you go to MyBookie.com and you deposit $1,000 U.S., if you're listening overseas, it's whatever the local currency equivalent is of 1,000 American dollars. But you use the bonus code BBALL1000, that's all capital letters, BBALL1000, they'll match your first deposit up to $1,000, then you got $2,000, then you go have some fun and you make some neat bets like the one I made. I put 10 bucks on Nikola Jokic to win the MVP over the summer when he was 100-1. So again, mybookie.com, bonus code BBALL1000. And you get $1,000 for free. If you're overseas, it's mybookie.eu. But on the board tonight is the premier game. Jabari is Toronto and San Antonio, and San Antonio is favored by 2 points. Seventh place team against a team that's virtually tied for first place in the East. What do you make of that spread?
It's interesting, you know. You know, I think that the people who make that line are looking at the Spurs at home, looking at how good they've been. And though the Raptors did, you know, win a game last game against Utah, great game for Kawhi Leonard, I think they're kind of looking at this like, hey, listen, overall, though, they haven't been as efficient as they was before Kyle Lowry went down, and maybe give the edge to the Spurs a little bit, who are playing some very good basketball as of late. So I think they kind of see that and they respect that. And listen, you got to respect it, right? Because the Spurs are a better home team proven this year. They just play well at home. And then you're talking about Nick Nurse going up against Greg Popovich, right? If I had to put a gun to your head and said, pick a coach, you know, who's going to win this game, you're going to go with the Hall of Famer, the future Hall of Famer, right? And Greg Popovich, you're thinking that he's going to out-coach. Yeah, Nick Nurse has the talent, especially probably the best player on the court in Kawhi Leonard. But Greg Popovich has the system. He has the knowledge to be able to out-coach Nick Nurse. to make sure that his team walks away victorious from this game. And so, you know, that's an interesting line. I thought maybe the Raptors would be favored a little bit, but I'm not surprised because the Spurs have just been that good lately and proven by the way that they came back against the Boston Celtics, scored 46 points, the most points they've scored in the third quarter and any quarter since 1993. So that's very, very interesting about that line.
Unfortunately, I was covering basketball in 1993, but that's what happens when you reach 53 years of age. But you mentioned the Spurs home record, and it's a good one. It's 15-5. They're 6-12 on the road. When you look at the teams with the best home records in basketball, there's two of them. One of them, it's astounding. Dallas at 15-3 at home, but 3-16 on the road. And then another one, this is a surprise team in the NBA. I don't care what anybody says. This is the most surprising team out there. The Denver Nuggets, first place in the Western Conference, 15-3 at home. And, of course, they got Jokic, who's right now my favorite player to watch on TV. Right now, Denver's playing tonight at Sacramento. And Sacramento's certainly overachieved quite a bit. But Denver's favored by 3.5 points in that game. You've seen the Nuggets play, Jabari. How surprised are you that's the team sitting atop the Western Conference standings as we sit here on January 3rd, 2019?
Man, I'm not going to lie. I'm very surprised, man. I mean, I even asked, you know, Mike Malone this very question, and he's like, you know, you're almost waiting. You know, he himself said, you know, you're almost waiting for it to something to happen where you guys, you know, would fall. You know, we're not even looking at the standings because we're just trying to play our best basketball. But I think that's what a lot of people are looking at. Okay, listen, we know y'all there. We know, obviously, you know, the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers and, you know, the Houston Rockets who are starting to trying to figure it out and get it together. We know that they are favored to be the last team standing. But what the Denver Nuggets have been able to accomplish this season just goes to show you how good a job that Tim Connelly, the GM, has done in building that team over the years, finding good trades and bringing in pieces, not afraid to ship out talent that you have drafted, guys like Emmanuel Mudiay. When it ain't working out, you just got to say, you know what, it's time to move on and allow us to build around Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. So, you know, it's like it's been very, very good to see. I love come-up teams. I love teams that say, you know what, we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to build our roster. We're going to work the draft. We're going to work trades. We're going to get talent in here. We're going to grow. And that's what they've been able to do with Mike Malone, who's probably right now my favorite to win the Coach of the Year over Greg Popovich because of the job that he has done with the Denver Nuggets, a team that, you know, we thought they would make the playoffs at like a 7 or 8 seed. Very few people had them sitting number one at this point in the season as we're now in 2019. So I'm very surprised, but also I'm very happy because I love to see that diversity in the NBA. Nobody wants to keep on seeing the Warriors dominate all the time and be at it. There's no suspense. There's no surprise. But what the Denver Nuggets have been able to do, and remember, they beat the Warriors. What they've been able to do this season has been really, really phenomenal. And they have a nice roster that I think now that you can say they're a team that's going to be reckoned with. And usually teams start off hot. Remember, the Orlando Magic started off hot, and everybody was like, oh, man, maybe they're good. And it kind of slowed down really, really fast because, you know, they were able to see that they're not as good. But the Denver Nuggets have been able to stay afloat. They've been able to keep it going. And I really feel that they have proven themselves as being one of the top teams, one of the more respected teams that you should respect in the Western Conference. And if you don't respect them, as Mike Malone said in Denver that time, you go ahead and take this L on the way out. You know, so I've been very surprised again and very happy and very proud of Mike Malone, especially after the raw deal he got in Sacramento. It's good to see that he's, you know, back on his feet and coaching a very good basketball team in Denver.
Well, there's a long line of guys who've gotten raw deals in Sacramento. Nuggets are on the board right now. Well, Nuggets are on the board now. The odds have dropped all the way down to 25-1, which is an astounding drop. Right now, Oklahoma City is at 16-1. Houston's at 10-1. This is to win the championship. The Golden State Warriors are still the prohibitive favorites. The Lakers are sitting there at 22-1. So if you like LeBron James to go to another NBA Finals and win it, you can get him at 22-1. The team you covered, Jabari, San Antonio is 140-1. You know, the lines shift on a day-to-day basis, but certainly there are long odds on good teams. But one more game tonight is the second game of the TNT doubleheader, Houston and Golden State. I looked at this line, and I'm like, man, that's a big line because, you know, these guys went seven games in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals last year. Golden State's favored by 8 at home. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, that just goes to show you how important Chris Paul is to the Houston Rockets and how far the Houston Rockets have kind of failed this season. You know, last year around this time, they were sitting up there, you know, going back and forth on the number one and number two slots with the Warriors. And now, you know, look where they are. You know, it just goes to prove that you just can't, you know, lose key players and Luke Bamonte, you know, and Trevor Ariza and feel like you're still going to compete. And add Carmelo Anthony, an experiment that went down really, really fast. And Michael Carter Williams. Listen, you need to make sure that you keep your core guys in. The Rockets didn't do it, and that's why they're struggling to stay in the standings depending on what day. Now, they have gotten better. You anticipate that, especially they have the reigning MVP in James Harden. But I'm just interested to see, first of all, they're going to lose the game tonight. You know, so that line, I feel like, is really correct. I think the Warriors are going to give them all they can handle because other than Harden, I don't think the Warriors are scared of anybody on that Rockets roster, and especially now the Warriors starting to click because they're healthy finally. So, it's interesting to see, and it's going to be interesting how Chris Paul comes back. I'm really going to be into it. He's had a very sluggish start, probably the most difficult start to his career than ever before. Is it time? Has those knees caught up to him? Is his father time finally hitting him too? I'm really interested to see if the time off because of that injury will help him become better in the second half of the season, because if the Rockets plan to compete in the West the way that they did last year, they're going to need Chris Paul. They already, like I said before, they're already missing a lot of core players that they've decided not to re-sign, but they're going to need Chris Paul to be his best in order for them to compete in the West the way that they did last year. If it's not his best, if it's just the same Chris Paul, maybe a little bit better that you saw when he was on the court, that's not good enough, and they're not going to win a lot of games. They'll make it to the playoffs maybe, but they'll be out in the first round, maybe second. It's not good enough. They're going to lose. So they need him to be at his best. He's getting paid one of the highest salaries in the league. They need him to perform as such. Chris Paul is my favorite point guard in the NBA. I've always loved Chris Paul's game, and it's bothersome to see how he has been struggling to start the season. So I'm hoping he bounces back. I really am. I'm hoping that he bounces back to his all-star form, because it's good to see him play like that, A. I enjoy watching him play when he's like that, B. But most importantly, if the Rockets are going to compete or make any noise in the playoffs, they're going to need their franchise point guard to be at his best. So right now they're hanging on and staying afloat. They're going to lose tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they get blown out by the Warriors tonight. But this game aside, Chris Paul has to come back stronger, healthier, better in order for them to compete.
He's Jabari Young. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at Jabari J. Young. He's a North Philly dude out of Temple. We're going to have to make a little bit of a wager.
Again, man. It sounded so nice, man. It sounded so nice.
Man.
North Philly dude out of Temple.
North Philly dude, and he's Temple made. And if you're subscribed to The Athletic, you can read the best Spurs coverage out there, because nobody's got their finger on the pulse of the Spurs quite like Jabari. But I want to make a wager now, because I'll pick my spot, you pick your spot. Best cheesesteak in Philly?
Oh, Jim's Cheesesteaks. Jim's right off South Street. And, second is DeLisandro's off Henry Avenue. Not Pat's, not Gino's. Don't even say those names. It ain't them.
No.
It's Jim's.
No, it's not those at all. Those guys, they show those places on TV. But if you want to go and get wait online and freeze your ass off and then be served by rude people, you can go to either of those two places. I go to Talk of the Town because it's right on the way to the FU Center or whatever they call it now. I still call it the FU Center from when it was the first Union Center. But you pick up one on the way to the game, and then you pick up one on the way for the ride back, whether you're going to Atlantic City or New York. In my case, sometimes I go right, sometimes I go left. But when the Spurs are up to play the Sixers, we'll have to make a little wager on that game, and the loser buys a cheesesteak.
I can get you, Jim.
I went to a place over by Temple, over by Penn over the summer when I was doing some business down at the Palestra, and there's a place over by Penn that's pretty outstanding as well. You really can't get a bad cheesesteak in Philly. It's like trying to get a bad meal in New Orleans.
No, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get a bad cheesesteak in Philly. Don't be mistaken, man. We just named two places that don't serve the best cheesesteaks. You can get a bad cheesesteak in Philly, man. Believe that, okay? Don't believe that at all at every place. You get a bad cheesesteak in Philly, man. But the best cheesesteak are the ones that, like I told you before, Jim's, DeLisandro's, Iskandibbles, man. Max is off of Erie Avenue, but don't go down there at nighttime. I don't want you to get hurt. You know, there are a whole bunch of good places, man. Believe me, there are a few bad places that you want to avoid.
Yeah, Dinnick's ain't bad either. It's a hell of a great food town. Yeah, it's a good one. We're going to wrap it up, but I want to put in one more plug for the show. This show lives on GetMoreSports.com, but we're sponsored by MyBookie.com right now. And if you go to MyBookie.com and you enter bonus code BBALL1000, they'll match your first $1,000 deposit. They'll give you another $1,000 on top of it. Go out there, have some fun. Want to make big bets, small bets, that's up to you. But betting is illegal, is not illegal in the United States anymore. And it's a whole new world. It's been that way since May 14th, 2018, when the Supreme Court overturned the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. So some states you can bet on your phone. Some states like New York or Texas, where Jabari is, you got to go to an offshore. And so I encourage you to try mybookie.com or our other sponsor, betdsi.com. They're both nice sites, and you know, they got lines up on all sorts of stuff, not just sports, but politics, entertainment. It's interesting, and gambling is a mainstream activity now in the United States, whether it's lotteries, whether it's casinos, or whether it's sports gambling. It's part of the new world we live in. And so Jabari Young, I want to thank you for joining us on the show. And I'll tell our listeners, you like the Spurs or you like Kawhi Leonard, follow this guy on Twitter, because if there's news on Kawhi Leonard, there's one place to get it first, and Jabari's going to have it. So with that, Jabari, again, thanks for coming, and congrats on the new job.
Chris, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for having me again. It was a privilege, and let's do this again sometime.
I appreciate it, and thank you for the kind words at the opening of the show. And with that,
absolutely,
we're gonna close it up. I'll be back at you soon. There's a lot going on with Anthony Davis, and I'm privy to a whole bunch of it. So there'll be a column, there'll be a podcast on that big game in Cleveland tomorrow night, and you don't say big game in Cleveland very often. So with that, we're going to wrap it up, and I thank you for joining us, and we go over and out.